sure. Nope. What's holding back here?
Does that work, Babylon? Having these lights?
Okay, what we're going to do in this session is talk about exercises in delivery. Now, those of you that have bucket weeked before, those of you that have bucketed before have seen something with regard to these. Sarah, I think that's your shoulder we're seeing. Oops, okay. What we're going to do is we're going to work on these a little bit, and we're going to try to have exercises with each other, and we're going to combine a little bit of the a box of gospel tools with the exercises and delivery. So what we have here is a compilation of tips from various speakers giving advice to younger speakers in view of communicating more effectively. Now, a lot of these things that you'll see on the board have to do with giving a message. We're going to apply these things instead of to giving a message as much giving, say, the gospel, or if somebody gave you an opening for about 5 minutes of sharing the gospel, how would you take it? How would you use it? Things like that. All right, so let's go through these. Some of these on these slides, I'm going to skip a little bit. Some of them I may go through very quickly, and others I'll take time on. Okay. There are concepts. I got these from Jabe, by the way. He's not in the room now that I can tell, but I'll give him credit for it anyway. This picture of the garden and the kitchen. And in order to communicate truth to someone, you need to do two things. The first is you need to get the truth. The second is you need to deliver the truth. Now, if you want to think of it as putting on a meal, you have two steps. There's the time spent in the garden, and that's going and getting the ingredients. That's followed by the time in the kitchen, where the ingredients are prepared for eating. Now, it would be a little unusual to go get from the garden all these ingredients and then go to the person in the kitchen that's waiting for a nice meal and dump out on the table all the raw ingredients and say, well, there you go, there's your meal. And that's the way it is with a lot of messages, right? We come to the message and we listen, and there's been somebody who has, thank the Lord, spent time in the garden. And they've been gathering content from the Word of God and truth from the Word of God. And that's wonderful. But then they come and then they just simply dump the truth, if you will, onto the table and let you sort it out yourself. It's good to have truth, and you can survive and you can eat food that way. But what's better is to spend some time in the kitchen as well, so that the content is processed and then delivered in a way that is easy to be received and easy for eating. So what happens is we often spend, if we spend good time in the garden, that's wonderful, but sometimes we spend too little time in the kitchen. And that's what we're talking about now. It's not so much how to get the truth. That's another matter. But once we have it, how do we deliver it? How do we convey it to somebody else? Okay, so that's what we'll be talking about, not so much about the subject matter, but about the delivery. All right, we're not going to look at the overview because we're just going to pick certain parts out of this. This doesn't have to do with witnessing, but I'm going to stop and say it just briefly. When you read the Word of God, and if you're giving a message, you want to do this early on in the message, read from punctuation mark to punctuation mark, not all pushed together. Do you think that the problem with most young people speaking is that they read too fast or too slow. And we're doing this by a show of hands before you yell out. How many of you think that most young people, when they read from the scriptures publicly, read too slowly? I want everybody to look around. No hand went up. Out of 80 people, 0 out of 80 think that young people tend to read too slowly. How many have seen young people that may read too quickly? Look around, okay? This is a lesson for us. It is okay when you come to the Word of God and you're going to be reading it, slow down. It's not an indication of your intellect to read fast. It's not an indication that you have a good grasp of the Word of God and you don't even stumble when you get to a thee and thou pushed together. You can go right through it. It's okay. People's minds aren't taking it in as fast as you're reading. Read it slowly, and it's not so much that you have to read so slowly as to pause at the punctuation marks. So you can read normal speed up to a comma, and then pause for a moment, and then read the next little bit. Now, we have a veteran here. Veteran who's going to read some scripture for us. Daniel, you've been here. Do you have a favorite passage? Here we go. You can start at John 4 and verse 27.
And go till...
Just... No. So do it right for everybody here.
No pressure.
Just because I've been here 10 years doesn't mean I... Okay.
And at this point, his disciples came, and they marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no one said, "What do you see?" Or, "Why are you talking with her?" The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, "Come, see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ?"
Okay, all right, stop there. How many people think he read too slowly? Nobody. Isn't that wonderful? He took his time, he wasn't rushed, and when he got to the punctuation marks, there was a break. And everybody seemed to like it. Anybody think he read too quickly? I don't think so either. I think that was a nice job. So guys, don't just, the last thing somebody wants is to come to the Lord's Supper and have you get up and sound like the Hamburglar when you're reading. You know how he sounds, right? Have you seen him on the commercials? He sounds like this. And you can't hear him because his volume is too low and he's speaking too fast, whatever he's saying. So all right. In a message and when you're talking with somebody about the Lord, the main point must come across. And there is a main point to your message, and then there might be some sub-main points. But they have to come across. A message should be able to be summarized in a sentence or two. If you can't summarize a message that you gave in a sentence or two, then you have to ask some serious questions if you understood what it was you were trying to get across to people. By the time you end that message, everybody should know what that sentence or two was. They may not have gotten all the message, but if you ask them what was it about, let's hope they got that sentence or two. Could you imagine having 40 minutes to yourself to say whatever you wanted, 40 entire minutes, and have someone leave and not know what those two sentences were that summed up the whole thing? Has that ever happened to you in a message? Yeah, it's happened to lots of us. I see hands. So, if the whole message could be summarized in a sentence or two, and you want everybody to know what that is, How should it be achieved? How can you have a successful message where people know what was communicated, what the main point was? Now, I'm going to tell you a secret. It'll be on the next slide. And this is the secret, how you can get it to happen for yourself. Tell them. That's the secret. You come out right from the beginning and you tell them this is the main point. Now, what about when you're sharing the Lord with each other witnessing? When you share the Lord with somebody witnessing, the same thing is true. All right? There was a time when there was somebody, don't worry, you don't know this person. I know this person, and I think virtually nobody knows him here that's not related to me. But it was a situation where somebody I knew was there, and they were trying to share the gospel. And then this other lunatic, and I'm teasing him. He's a nice feather, and he's a brother in the Lord. But he came and also tried to help share the gospel. And he tried to use this illustration that had to do with a ball, like a football or something, you know. And something about people passing the football, and he wants to know who has the ball or something like that. No clue what this applied to. I mean, there was some application that I'm sure he had in his mind, but nobody understood. Nobody left that little conversation knowing the main thing he was trying to get across. And the same thing can be true in our sharing the Lord with someone. We can maybe get into an illustration or something like that, and they may miss the main point. So in a message, it has to be simply said outright time and time again. Winston Churchill said this, "If you have an important point to make, don't try to be subtle or clever. Use a pile driver. Hit the point once. Then come back and hit it again. Then hit it a third time, a tremendous whack." Now, when you share the gospel with someone, the heart of the gospel can be repeated again and again and again through only a few minute conversation. You don't want somebody to leave when you're trying to tell them how they can be saved. You don't want them to leave saying, okay, now, how then can I be saved? That can happen, can't it? Because you want to add so many extra details and be so helpful, sometimes in our eagerness, we may give the heart of the gospel and then just add so much to it. You just want to come back with a simple message and maybe elaborate a little bit and then come back with that simple message, maybe elaborate a little bit, come back with that simple message. Don't try to get too fancy. Just that simple message coming back again and again. So if we take one of our gospel illustrations, and we used a few of them, why don't you tell me one that you remember? We had four of them. They weren't that long ago. All right, right at the back. Right, which one? The woman in the burning building. Yes. Sorry, there's one falling down. Okay. The one over here, the woman's in the burning building, she could either believe about him, believe him, or believe on him, right? What is the crux of that message? If you're using that illustration, what is the crux? What is that main thing that you don't want them to miss? They need to believe on him to be saved, and that would involve, at least in the story, what? Putting herself in his hands, in his care. And with regard to the Lord Jesus, believing on him means what? Entrusting yourself to him, to let him save you. So in talking about this, if your conversation lasts 5 minutes, you want to make sure that this main point does not get missed. You want to be clear, then you want to say it again, then you want to hit it a third time, a tremendous whack. So you give the little illustration. Now, is she safe this way if she just believes about him? No. What about if she believes him? No. She has to believe on him. She has to put herself into his care and allow him to do what he needs to do to save her. And then you say a couple more words and you say the same thing is true with the Lord Jesus. We have to put ourselves into his hands and say, I give you permission to do what you need to do to save me. And you say, and you know what? And he does. That's the wonderful thing. He's made all the provision necessary. He died on the cross. He took the punishment of our sins on himself. He rose again. So that now we can say, what do? You hit it again. We can say, I am putting myself into your hands. And I'm asking you to do what you need to do to save me. If that means come in and change me, give me a new life, I want that. And you know he will. He loves you so much, he's ready to do it. It's the best decision you'll ever make. If you only, there you go, put yourself into his hands, just like that woman, and say, I'm trusting in you. I want you to do what you need to do to save me and to bring me to heaven. Right? Now what? She's heard it, or he's heard it three times now. Right? So hopefully, when they leave, that one thing will be pounding in their head. I need to put myself into the care and trust of the Lord Jesus. Right? It would be horrible to have a nice period of time with someone where, yeah, the gospel was in there somehow, but I added so much to it that, well, what was it again? Right? Repeating is important. All right, there were some examples of that, exercises in that. When giving a message, it is important to be organized. And here are two resumes. Who are you going to hire? Which resume contains more information? The first one. There is more information over here than there is over here. If someone got to have 1 minute with each resume, which resume would convey more information? Yeah, this one. Because in this one, a person can see it and understand the organization. There is the professional experience, there's the training, there's the summary, there's the objective. Here, there is a stream of steady information coming out. But your mind has to both process what you're reading and organize what you're reading. Don't let them have to organize it. Okay? It's worse when something is said out loud. Because when something is said out loud, your eyes can't go back on the page and say, what did I just miss? Uh-oh, you're just moving. So in giving a message, it's important to have it organized. But when sharing the gospel with someone, it's important to be organized as well. You don't want them having to use all the energy of their brain just to figure out what it is you're saying. If you can say it in an organized way, their brain can be freed up to say, all right, let me think about the content of what he's saying rather than the organization of it. Because he's told me clearly where he's going. If you have that illustration of the person in the burning building, and you are able to write it out in front of someone, you can't help but be organized, because you say, all right, what's the first thing she could do? She could believe about him. You write that down. Well, if she simply believes about him, does that make her safe? Well, no, I guess it doesn't. Two, she could believe him, but nothing else. And the person is seeing it on the page, and they know where you are. Okay, you got the first one, you got the second one, and then the third one is believe on him. Oh, okay, that's the key, huh? Okay. You see how when doing that with someone, you don't lose the person in a sea of words, all right? So what we're going to do in a little while is we're going to practice sharing the gospel with each other in tiny groups, all right? And when you do this, I want people in the groups, you're going to share it with a few others, and they're going to be your critics, okay? We're all friends here. But when you do it, I want you all to look out for this, okay? I want you to be on the lookout for if this is what you're hearing. Are you hearing simply a stream of words that seem loosely connected, but you don't know really where it's going? Or do you hear something that's sounding organized, like, say, the door illustration? Look at this verse. Jesus said, "I am the door." And instead of starting to go into a door, you just say, "Let's think about what a door does." What does that statement do? You read the verse, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he shall be saved." And you say, "Let's think about what a door does." What have you done? You haven't just immediately started spewing information. You've actually made a little heading. And they know that the next few things that you say are going to be a little discussion of what a door does. You follow what I mean? So you could do it the bad way and just say, you know, Jesus said, "I am the door. By me, if anyone enters by me, he shall be saved." Doors do lots of wonder. Well, see, I can't help but organize it. Doors make things great. They separate the inside from the outside and cold from warm and so on. Well, that's all great, but give them a little heading. Well, let's think about what a door does. Okay, I know what he's about to say. I don't know what he's going to say, but I know what it's about is what a door does. Well, doors, and then you can talk about some of the things we did. And then you can say, "But now, Jesus said he was the door. How does he do the same thing as a door?" Well, now they know the next thing you're about to say is how these pictures of a door are shown in Jesus. And they're ready to take in that piece of information. And then you say, you know, the only time a door is really any good is when you use it. So the question now is, what about Jesus as the door? And they know you're about to say, are you going to use him as a door? It's great. If you can speak in a way that they know what you're going to say before you say it, you've done a good job. So, organizing our thoughts. Now, this takes practice, okay? I'm not expecting us to look at a few slides here and all of a sudden walk out of Bucket Week being, you know, these great orators of the gospel and so on. If giving a message, you can give a map up front. I'll stop and say this. Try to avoid being a magician in your messages. I know I may have even tried it here, but anyway. All right, don't try to do it, okay? Magicians, they don't tell anybody where they're going. They just do things, and then all of a sudden at the end, it's like, aha, look at that. My brother was going over a message with me one time, and it was a very complicated message. It was good, solid stuff. It was deep waters. Old Testament, Levitical law, New Testament. I mean, he was in there. And he's going through it with me. Now, I'm his brother. I love him. I'm interested in what he's saying. And I'm flatlining in my brain. I'm like, I have no idea what you're doing. I don't know where you're going. I don't know what. He says, "Don't worry. Don't worry. It's going to come." And he goes a little bit longer, and I'm just nodding. He says, "Don't worry. Don't worry. It's going to come. When you see the end, everything that I said, you're going to go, oh, now I know why he said all these things." And he got to the end, and it really was, it was good. But I said, nobody's going to keep up. Nobody's going to remember A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J for you to be able to get to the end and say, now see how it all loops together. I said, why don't you give the end at the beginning? He said, well, that'll ruin the surprise. I said, no, just try it. Give the end right up front and say, here's the conclusion. And now I'll take them through the verses that lead up to it because they will know where you're going to go. And it's nice sometimes when you talk to somebody, if you can tell them where you're going to go in what you say. I talked to a Muslim person, well, more than once, but asked, have you ever heard that the Christian Bible has been changed over the years so that what we have today is really not the true words of Jesus. She said, yes, I've heard that. She said, did you know that actually there is remarkable evidence for how we know that the Bible wasn't changed and wasn't tampered with? In fact, the way it was transmitted to us today, it would have been impossible for it to be, fraud to be committed. So I could actually show it to you if you'd like. It'd take about 10 minutes. She said, yeah, why not? Let's see it. She had the aisle seat on the airplane. So she said, yeah, why not? Let's see it. So I told her at the beginning, so I said, now what I'm going to show you is how we know the Bible could not have been changed over the centuries. What did I do? I gave her the conclusion up front. Now, she doesn't know the evidence yet, but at least she knows what I think I'm going to be going to. So that as I'm moving along step by step in the information, she knows where it's headed and what I'm trying to do with the information. So it's important in a message as well as talking with one another about the Lord. Staying on track. There are lots of tidbits you can give as you're reading through a passage. If there is somewhere you're going with this passage, somewhere you're going with your thought, you can be reading along and find a verse along the way that just has a little cute story with it, you know, and try not to do it. Try to stay on the track of heading to your conclusion. And this is especially important when sharing the gospel with somebody, maybe more informally. You're there with them and you're talking in one direction and then you just kind of go off and talk in another direction and then come back to what you were doing. By the time you come back, nobody remembers where you had been. So careful on giving tidbits of information that don't belong. You don't have to give all the information you know on a subject. We'll move ahead from there. If you can create hooks for truth, this is important. What is a hook? All right, people's minds are like flat walls. You can't take a piece of truth and hang it on a flat wall. It'll just drop to the ground. You have to first put a hook in the wall, and then you hang the truth on the hook, and then it stays. You got it? What you need to do is you need to put a hook in somebody's mind and then put truth on that hook so that it stays in there. In other words, you're about to tell somebody a piece of truth. Why in the world should they be listening and paying attention? You got to give them something. Give them a reason why they better. You make them afraid to not listen to what you're about to say. You do that in the message, you know. You get it, everything set up so that people are afraid to make too much noise lest they miss what you're about to say. How can you create a hook in witnessing to somebody? If you have a few minutes and you're talking to them, something little you could say, like, you know, I like to tell you about the most remarkable thing that ever happened to me in my life. Not bad, is it? I mean, a lot of people say, all right, I'll bite. And it's a hook, they say, I'll bite. It works, right? I'll bite. Yeah, tell me. I mean, in other words, you've changed them from being completely uninterested to saying, all right, I'll hear you out. I want to hear what it is that was so remarkable to you. It's not so bad, is it? In giving a message, you can give hooks as well. You can set up a case where the answer being one thing or another has severe implications. You can set it up as a puzzle. Some people like puzzles. You can set it up as a puzzle where you say, now, how is it that, you know, this can be like this and yet this can be like this? How do you make sense out of that? The Lord Jesus was God manifest in the flesh, right? So there was a day when he wanted to communicate this truth. So what did he say? Did he say, you know, I am God manifest in the flesh? Or he may say, you know, Messiah, whoever he is God manifest in the flesh. He didn't do it that way, at least on one instance. He posed a puzzle to people. And his puzzle was, when Messiah comes, whose son would he be? They said, well, he's going to be the son of David. He said, well, then, how is it that David in the Spirit called him Lord when he says, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies the footstool of your feet? Now they've got a puzzle. Well, how do we reconcile these two things? Well, I don't know how we reconcile these two things. Maybe Messiah is not merely son of David. Now they're ready to hear an answer to the puzzle. And the answer is that Messiah would not just be son of David, but son of God. And that is the explanation of that puzzle. Sometimes questions that lead a person to a solution would be like hooks. They're engaged. They're trying to answer these questions along the way. Questions like, there are the questions in evangelism of, if you were to die tonight and the Lord asked, why should I let you into my heaven, what would you say? Well, there's a question. I don't know if you want to use it or not, but there's a question that gets somebody thinking. If you asked them that question, they pondered a little bit, and then you said, I know what I would say. Do you think that might be a hook for them to say, hey, all right, I want to hear. What would you say? Or you can cheat. You can create a hook by cheating and just say, look, this is really important. Listen. Okay. Illustrations, examples, stories, visuals, they're vitally important if you use them correctly. All right? Drawing a little picture like that. You can draw a picture like that and see that person 6 months later and say, remember the last time I was talking to you? Oh, yeah, that's right. It was about that person in the building. For some reason, it sticks. The Bible has illustrations of the gospel. We went through them. I am the door. We talked about the serpent on the pole and the wilderness snakes. This picture of the house, these are all illustrations that help people understand the abstract concept of that. Stories can be very, very important. You can tell stories. One time when I was in on a tour of Israel, and there was somebody else on our tour who had been saved out of a rough background of drugs and very difficult situations and so on. So I'm talking to the person next to me about the Lord, and I just start saying, you know that this fellow over there, he's on a tour with us. Let me tell you about him. I started telling about what his life was like, and I said, you know, it would have been impossible for him to change. No person could have accomplished this to have him here today the way he is right now. Impossible. And I started talking about what the Lord Jesus did. It's a story. Everybody can lock into and enjoy a good story. And then a visual, something to look at. If you can be talking with someone and you have a couple of little words on a diagram or something and you're showing them, it can be very helpful in your sharing the gospel. Okay. All right, we've come to our time of exercise now. We'll go ahead and stop as far as...